Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, and oh, how we love you back. Please give us mercy and discernment as we seek to stay faithful to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name and amen. Yes, we pray for faithfulness to God. As I see and interact with so many things in this world, we want that faithfulness. For me, faith has gotten easier and easier as I have gotten older and as I have witnessed how God can turn all things to His glory and to our spiritual good. However, we may need patience to watch and witness how this comes about. And that is in God's timing, not in ours. It is God's timing. But we do get goodness from when we see this. And let us trust God through the trials and tribulations that we have and patiently wait and watch God work. It took me a little time to have that patience. But I learned. I witnessed it, and so I've acquired patience. But I also know that there are times when we can't just wait and watch. We have to act immediately. Just pay attention to what your heart and your mind are saying to you. Sometimes we do need to share the gospel just immediately. And I'll tell you why I say this in a minute. But first, a few years ago, I was in a men's group and we were discussing if we had been visited by an angel. And more than a few men said they thought they had. And it was not like you could say for sure that it was an angel, but you could say there was really no other good explanation for what had happened to them. So with my little experience, I was standing in line at a hot dog stand, and I felt the very strong urge to tell the people in front of me about Jesus. But I did not do it. I had the sense that I really wanted to, but I didn't do it. So now in hindsight, looking back on it, I had the very strong sense God was present with that, and that's why I wonder if those were angels standing in front of me. But one thing that experience did was it made me realize that if there ever was that opportunity again, I would want to speak with my heart and my mind about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, if I were ever called upon to do that, to speak the good news of the gospel immediately, I would be more prepared to do that. So that's my little lesson on that one. Well, for a couple of fellows in that group, they had it wasn't so sure that it was an angel, but there was no other good explanation. One fellow told about when he was escaping a communist country and a mysterious man told him to stay there very still. And right then, two armed border guards looked right at him, but they just kept walking by like they did not see anything. Apparently they did not see him, or they would have shot him dead on the spot. So, was that an angel? We're really not sure. But we have heard testimony of various people about angel visits that the only other good explanation was that it was an angel sent by God. Some of those testimonies have been by Dimitri Dudeman and Brother Andrew, and if you look them up, you can hear those stories about how God's timing is just amazing, because we do serve an amazing God, and that is for sure. Well, we do have some very interesting things in life to deal with. I think one of the things to me is prophecy. It always interests me, but I'm always cautious about it because, well, we don't want to listen to a false prophet. But I still do pay attention to the prophetic things that I have heard in the past, and I remember them. Now, I may question them. In fact, I do question them. But that doesn't mean that I don't remember what was said. I've also heard those people with a prophetic word saying, "This is going to happen if no repentance happens." So there's a qualifier there. They speak a prophetic word and then say, "If there is no repentance." Well, there's lots of reasons to question all of it. And yes, I think we are supposed to question it. But I also, like I said, I remember what I've heard that a prophetic person had said. Oh, and here's a prophecy I heard like 25 years ago, that there would be a mountain that would fall into the ocean and cause a huge tidal wave of like 10 or 15 feet high on the eastern seaboard of the United States. Now, they were talking about the Canary Islands, about a mountain splitting and falling into the ocean. Well, at that time, there was a volcanic mountain that had a crack in it that was widening a few feet a year. And if it had slid into the ocean, it would have caused that kind of a tsunami on the eastern seaboard of the United States. Well, obviously, nothing's happened for all these years. But now, today, and I mean in the last month, there has been a volcano going off in the Canary Islands. It's a pretty big one. And there has been a river of hot lava about 200 feet wide going right into the ocean. You can see the pictures of it, the videotape. It's just a great big river of red hot lava going into the ocean. Amazing. Well, there have been scientists recently, you know, like a geologist, who has said that if the mountain falls into the ocean, it could cause a wall of water 1,000 feet high at the Canary Islands where it originated. And by the time it reached the east coast of the United States, it could be 20 feet high. Now, the Canary Islands are about 300 or 400 miles off the west coast of Africa. And we can wonder how an event so far away could impact us so greatly. But scientists say that it could. Speaking of what people are saying about it, they are calling that Canary Island a Spanish volcano, because the Canary Islands are governed by Spain. The name of the volcano is La Palma. So we hear about that, but we just don't realize it's in the Canary Islands. Well, all of this is amazing to me, both what could happen and what is going on with that 200-foot-wide river of lava flowing into the Atlantic Ocean. Well, no one knows what will happen, but it is going on. And just like nobody knows what will happen with the Kilauea volcano in Hawaii, it's still active. Not like it was, but it's still, things are happening there with that volcano. So we see volcanic and other activity on and in the earth. And so some people are wondering what is going to happen, even in our neighborhood. For instance, what will happen in the Cascadia subduction zone? That's along the west coast of America, from California and Oregon and Washington up to Vancouver, British Columbia. It's a huge thing. It's just huge. The United States Geological Survey Office says that on average it has gone off every 300 years. And the last time it happened was 320 years ago. So they are saying that an event could happen along our west coast just any time. And a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake and tsunami, again, it's the Office of Emergency Services. They are saying that everything west of the Interstate 5 freeway would be destroyed. Now, that just kind of gets your attention. And whatever would happen, it would be a huge, huge event. As I think of earthquakes, I think back to my experience with the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake. It shook for about 15 seconds, and it took down overpasses and bridges, caused the electricity to go out, and other services as well. Now, this Cascadia subduction zone, it is predicted when it happens that it will shake for 5 minutes. And that's a really big difference, to shake for 15 seconds or 5 minutes of violent shaking. Well, I just say this so that you will get concerned enough that you will take some reasonable action steps to prepare for, just in case, a natural disaster like the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake would happen. It would be a major earthquake and a major tsunami. It would hit Japan with several feet of water. That's what it did the last time. They say it had a 5-foot wall of water going into Japan. Well, there are seismologists today who suggest that the earthquake caused by the Cascadia subduction zone would also trigger the San Andreas fault. And that in turn could affect the New Madrid fault on the eastern part of the United States. Well, there are studies for this and studies for that, and nobody knows what will really happen. It could be so much less of an effect than we expect, or so much more of an effect than we expect. But it's always good to listen to what people who have studied earthquakes say. And you know that the United States Geological Survey has studied all of these things, and they have issued warnings. Not immediate warnings, just warnings that we should be prepared. And we can look at all these things and wonder about what could happen. And that leads me back to what prophecy people say. And again, I listen to them, but I certainly am cautious about what I hear. But when prophecy people say just about the same thing, I do pay more attention to it. And there have been several prophecy people that have talked about a huge, massive earthquake going from coast to coast that would cause the Great Lakes to slosh around. So it kind of lines up. It kind of lines up with the warnings that we hear about, well, devastation in the United States. And that makes me think of another thing that has been talked about by prophetic people, which is after this great, huge catastrophe, that there would be Russian and Chinese troops invited into the United States to keep order. And then, when order was reestablished, those Russian and Chinese troops would refuse to leave. Now, I have plenty of questions about prophecy. I don't mean to say that it's true or not, but I am going to tell you I heard it from more than one person. And a few years ago, there were agreements that had been signed for mutual emergency assistance between Russia and the United States, and then between China and the United States in the event of a natural disaster. Well, a couple of days ago, this was on my mind, so I tried to look it up. I tried to ask Google about what was going on with that, and I could really not get any information about it, not from Google anyway. But I clearly remember these things being talked about, how there was an emergency aid agreement between United States and Russia and United States and China after a few years. So whatever happens, I think the big thing is that we want to have our relationship secure with Jesus Christ, because that will never change, no matter how long we live or what the circumstances of life are. And I do think about what's going on today in our society. I think about, I wonder about the great falling away. When will that happen, and why will that happen? Well, it's talked about in 1 Timothy 4:1, and let's see, Hebrews talks about it in 6:6, and 2 Thessalonians in 2:3. So there is going to be a great falling away, and we get to figure out, or think about it anyway, what it means that it'll happen when it happens. Of course, I think about how the United States of America is in its relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think about how there could be a great falling away. And when you look at the people today in the United States, where is their faith? I look at the holidays right now. You see, Christmas honors Jesus Christ. And there's that other day of the year that has that other evil person. Oh, well, I'm talking about Halloween. And it has been noted several times by several measures that Halloween has become more popular than Christmas. More money is spent on that holiday. So I cannot help but wonder if we, the United States, are more interested in celebrating death and the devil than we are in celebrating life and Jesus. Well, I just wonder if that's what we are so focused on, will God allow us to have death rather than life in this world? Just my pondering, but I do wonder. And if you look around, you'll see it too. You'll see people giving time and attention and money to skulls and death and that kind of ungodly things, and more attention to that than to Jesus and the life that we can have through Jesus. So, we have things going on in our country, and they may affect us in a big way at some point. We can just kind of wonder about it and be prepared for whatever comes. I do think back on testimonies that I have heard about the Devil's Day, about how people acknowledge that terrible evil, and really bad things happen on that day. Horrendous things, like with death and suffering of the innocent especially. And so we do have the presence of darkness, of that evil around us. And I hope it becomes obvious to us that we want to have absolutely nothing to do with that kind of evil. So I hope that you exercise your free will and have nothing at all to do with that day, that celebration of death. Instead, I hope that you choose the light and the warmth and the goodness of Jesus Christ. Now, John 1:9 is about Jesus, who is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So, yeah, choose Jesus. Choose life. Choose light. And recognize that one day we will have the consequences for our choices. And there's also a passage about God taking no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's, I think Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33 talks about that, and so does 2 Peter 3:19. Well, Scripture plainly tells us that our deeds and the deeds of evil will be eternally judged. And therefore, if we have done wrong things in the past, we need the covering of Jesus, and we need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So, ask Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior, and then live holy as you repent of your past unholy deeds. Well, tell others about the good news of the gospel also. And that is what we are called upon to do. The end of Matthew, Matthew 28:18 talks about this. So does Mark 16:14. And Luke has something to say about that too. At the end of each gospel, we are reminded that we are to spread, teach, preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is going to judge us one day. The believer, for the good works of our life, and for the unbeliever, whether we are believers or not. So, judgment is coming, and we get to try to figure out what that means. Oh, we all have a different message. Every person in the world says something a little bit different. And I think that God made each of us to be with our own characteristics. And so we follow them and we choose to be either the goodness of Jesus or we choose to be of the world. And each has their consequences. And you better pay attention so that you can tell others about the good news of the gospel. Because that's what I think our real job is. As we prepare for eternity, and as we prepare for whatever our earthly concerns are. Now, I think of the daily concerns of life, of being on earth, as being having things that will sustain our life. And that means food and water and warmth. And, you know, all of us see it a little different. We see one thing or another as important, just like every preacher has a slightly different message. Every preacher or every person of God who has a message to say tells it a little bit different. And I know I am grateful for so many people who do, one way or another, preach the word of the Bible and the gospel. But we do hear things that are kind of funny. I heard one a few days ago where there was a preacher saying that America was formed under a covenant with God, and thus our country would continue, and California would also continue, because California was the heart of America. What he was implying was that nothing bad could happen to California, and nothing bad could happen to America. Oh, I sure do hope he's right. But I've seen history, and I've seen life, and I've seen that in countries that abandon God, well, they have a harsh and a difficult future after they have abandoned God. And so, through my study of history and through my travels, where I have seen different countries, I've seen a lot of hardship, a lot of very difficult times. I've seen food scarce. I've seen people suffer. Oh, in the world there is hardship. And now in America, I see that I think of Amos 11, where there is a famine in the land of the word. And then I expect there will be a famine in America of food and water also. They just kind of go together, according to Amos 8:11. Famine of the word and famine of food and water. Oh, I know there's another part there, the four sword judgments of God. When we turn away from God, what happens? That was Ezekiel 14:13. The four sword judgments of God come upon, well, the ungodly. So it's not fun to talk about those kind of subjects, though. It is fun to talk about a prosperity message, but we have to look at what's real. What is in the Bible anyway? Well, we do try to speak a clear message about what we understand. And a part of why I talk about having a water filter and food and other supplies is so that we do not suffer when there is consequences for our nation turning away from God. Now, there are shortages in America right now. You know that. We see them. We see the 100 ships off the coast of California. We know that things are not being delivered to our stores, and there are empty shelves and increasing prices. Well, that's going on right now in America. I have seen shortages in other countries. I've been to a few, including a few communist countries, and I am just reminded of the conditions that have been in those countries and what's going on in America right now. It is a familiar pattern. And so I get very concerned for we, the American people. It's a pattern I've seen, and I am concerned. And again, that's why I talk about preparedness. Water, food, and warmth. Those are the basics, in my way of thinking. We all have different ideas about what to have. to supply us in case of a shortages. But we're seeing things going on right now that reflect upon other countries, the conditions in other countries, and what has happened in history. It seems to be going on right now in America. I have often wondered why I am here right now on the radio. Why am I here? I've always been the quiet man. I didn't like to speak. I'm not sure that I do now. Probably not. But here I am speaking on the radio publicly, and I get to tell about the circumstances that I have seen on the radio, and it is just amazing to me. I don't see how it's, well, yes, I do see how it's come about. It's been by circumstances that I never would have made, and they have just come about. To me, the circumstances have been God pulling things together that I would not have done, but I have to say that my life experiences with planning and management and what I have witnessed in the world, they do have a use today, and that's why I think God has put me on the radio. It was circumstances. It's not that I wanted it to happen, but here I am. And the circumstances of my life have qualified me to speak with a certain wisdom about having a storehouse of food and supplies. I've seen too much loss in life. Loss of all sorts of things. Yeah, and then I had that fire not even a year ago, and I lost so much. Almost everything. But the point is, life is a journey, and the one thing we have for sure that we can never lose is Jesus Christ. And that is a part of our journey. We get to see that so clearly. So I've seen it in my life. And I think that just about all of us have seen that in their life also. I didn't know it at first for a lot of years. I didn't know Jesus until I was in my 40s. And then I realized, I've read a lot of books in my life, but I've never read the Bible. And so I determined to read it. I did. Took me a year. And then I read it again, and I realized, this is the truest book I've ever read. I am going to become a follower of Jesus Christ. So I did. And then I read the Bible a couple more times. So my point is that all these things, all these circumstances are for God's glory and ultimately for our good. So here I am on the radio in this time and this place. How odd. I know that I'm on a small radio station, and that might be just exactly where I'm supposed to be, talking to a few people and not a great big audience where I would get more people concerned about what I talk about. So I'm glad to be here, and I surely have that strong feeling that God put me right here, right now, to say the things I talk about. Because our God is so amazing. Oh, I see the things that I've witnessed, and it always, God is amazing. He puts things together that we could never even think of. That reminds me of, it's about 10 years ago, I was on a missions trip to Thailand, and that small group I was with often prayed, and we prayed to God, and we saw things happen in ways that we never could have thought, we never could have planned, but God put things together. That's what God does. We serve an amazing and an awesome God. we watch what God does, and we are so in, oh, it's just awesome. Well, I've had these experiences, and that, I think, is why I get to talk on the radio to so many people. I've seen things in the world. I've had quite a few travels. When I was young, I wanted to see the world, and I pretty much did. In those days, you could travel on standby, and that was a very reduced ticket price. So I could afford to go places, and I did. So today, now I've done all the traveling I want to do. I'm so glad to stay in America. And now I get to talk to people on the radio. Amazing. Well, I have seen plenty of difficulties in life with my own experience and with others. And so I have occasion to talk about this or about that. And I do think it's so important to remember that we are in a spiritual battle. I know I think of that that spiritual aspect. Oh, when I was coming back from the second trip that I made to Thailand, I was quite aware of the spiritual battle that was going on, the spirits that people seek out in that pagan culture. And then I left that country and I went on the airplane to the United States, and as I was landing, I felt such a overpowering sense of the spiritual darkness in America. Shocking. I was shocked, but that's what I felt just upon landing in the United States. The darkness, the spiritual darkness in America. Oh, yes, and all over the world. There's spiritual darkness, but I did not expect to have that sensation when I landed in America. It was kind of powerful. Well, we do have to be aware that there is a very powerful presence of evil everywhere in the world, including America. And there is an amazing presence of God in America and in the world also. These days, I do hope that all of us, everyone, prays for the light of Jesus Christ to be spread to the world. So I pray for Christians in the world. I pray for Christian groups and communities and ministries in the world, and certainly in America. We do want to pray and pray and pray, and when it's appropriate, we want to act. Well, there's a lot of people who need prayer right here, your neighbors, your family, people we don't know, people we hear about. So many people need prayer. And if people become Christians, they are not our enemy anymore. So let's pray for people, even our enemies. I know, this was last week, 2 weeks ago it was, on Christian radio, I heard a speaker saying that in America, 1,700 pastors leave being a pastor every month. It sounded like a lot, so I looked it up. And I did find a source that said 1,700 pastors leave every month. But I also found another source that says 250 pastors leave their pastorate every month. And that just reminded me of how careful we all have to be when we hear information. Information is different. The sources are different. The compilation is different. And we have to be discerning about what we hear. We have to. We just have to. Because we all have all sorts of experiences. And even the people who tabulate the numbers, they have all sorts of experiences too. What is theirs experience on that day? We don't know. And that, again, is part of the reason that we want discernment. And I often pray for discernment. I often pray for guidance. I hope you do too. Well, we want to live godly. We want to live in a right and proper way with right and proper understanding and have the ability to tell others about what we have experienced. And that's a part of preaching the gospel to other people in a time, in a place that we try to understand. And sometimes we just have to react immediately, just like I told you about me in that hot dog line. There I was waiting for food, and I did not speak the good news of the gospel. But that made me ready to speak it later on, and that's what we're supposed to do, in season and out, be ready to preach the good news of the gospel. And having failed at it that time, it has made me more ready to be able to preach the good news of the gospel whenever the opportunity arises. So I hope you think about that too. And I do think about the troubles that could be right around the corner with having the supplies you want to have on hand. I remember after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, I had a chance to talk with several first responders and get their opinions about what had happened and all sorts of things. Well, nearly every one of those first responders said that everyone should have a 3-week supply of food and water on hand. It was very uniform. All but one of them thought that. So if you read enough, you will find that in this world there is a lot that is going on, a lot of good things and a lot of bad things and a lot of hardship. And by having some supplies of food, of water, and a few other things on hand, you can make it much easier to go through a hardship of whatever it is. I think of food and water. I think of our government having supplies of food and water too. All those high up people, they have their food and water needs taken care of. But not us ordinary people. We don't have anybody looking out for us. We don't have anybody who has an underground cavern full of food, supplies, and entertainment. But the highest levels of our government do. And we are talked about as being preppers, and that it's not right for us prepper people to have a supply of food and water and whatever else. On social media, there was this thing that popped up, and it says, if you are concerned with what someone you know is becoming too prepared, let me start over. It said, if you are concerned that someone you know is becoming too prepared, well, we care about preventing extremism on the F-book place. And others in your situation, which means searching out information, if they have received confidential support about dealing with that prepping attitude. Well, anyway, that was a notice that was put out on social media. And so it shows that there is a certain attitude about what it means to be prepared. I am not an extreme prepper, not at all. But I do think that we all should have some preparation for the just in case. And to me, that means food, water, and warmth. There are all sorts of other things we can have, from flashlights to spices to cook with and an outdoor propane stove and cast iron cookware. It's kind of a lot that we could have, but I just think about the basics so that we can get through a difficult situation. But I just told you about that little social media blurb, and I do want everybody to know, if they think that you can hide from what's coming, you can't. Every one of us is so completely identified. There is no hiding anymore. We are all identified, and the artificial intelligence can tell exactly what our characteristics are. They don't even need to talk to us. They know by our purchases, or maybe by some keywords that we say on social media or over the telephone, which are all recorded. Every telephone conversation has been recorded for decades. So we are monitored and tabulated so closely. That's been going on for 30 years, and now today with the artificial intelligence, it's extremely quick. It's in just in seconds that they can tell everything about us, and if we are a Christian, or if we are a stand-up Christian, or if we believe the Bible. All these things can be told by the little words that we use, and it's easy for them to identify exactly who we are. So get your supplies and stand up for who you are. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Stand up for it. Stand strong. And that means in a loving way, because that's what we do. We are loving Christians, and we get to figure out what the best way is to love our neighbor and even to love our enemy. So it's a matter of we are loving. Well, we want to have all sorts of things, and we don't want to fail at the mission that's in front of us. So be prepared to spread the good news of the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ. I think it's so interesting how people are focused on this world instead of the spiritual aspects of life. People just seem to forget that there is an afterlife, that things will happen after we die. We will be judged. And so we want our life today to reflect our eternal choices. And of course, that means how we love Jesus and how we love our neighbor. Think about it. Try to apply it. Make it have an effect in your life. Live what you believe. Because in life, we do have all sorts of challenges. We have all sorts of things that are concerns and challenges, and some of them are even life-threatening. And I know this is a big question. Now, it's not an absolute truth, but we have been concerned about what this coronavirus does to life, and who has coronavirus, what it means. And I think it's good to get a variety of information. So I listen to doctors who have alternative opinions. And I remember hearing that COVID-19 vaccine would shorten your lifespan greatly, very greatly. And that would happen because of the spike proteins and how the vaccine reduces a person's white blood cell count and will create an autoimmune response in your own body. And I know that if this interests you, you can do a little research by looking up the doctors who have said such statements. And I would strongly suggest you look up Dr. Dolores Cahill, and look up Tal Zaks. Dolores Cahill is an immunologist, and Tal Zaks is the ex-Moderna chief medical officer. They both made statements about how this vaccine would shorten your lifespan. I mean, greatly. But we're dealing with a lot of things that don't have real information. A lot of it is opinion, and there are a lot of opinions out there. I know one thing that just kind of struck me is how there were population projections by Deagle Intelligence Group. That was at Deagle.com. And they gave no explanation as to why they said the United States population would be reduced. I mean greatly. And let's see, they said in 2017 the population was 330 million of the United States, and then the population projection in 2025 was projected to be less than 100 million. No one knows why. They don't make their discussions public. But you look at what some of the sources say, like Google. Google says that the Deagle site uses deep state resources to gather its intelligence information. And thus, we will probably never know where this information came from, but it is information that you can look at and examine. Well, about COVID, a lot of people disagree. A lot of doctors disagree. And I just think of most people wanting to hear both sides of the discussion before they form an opinion or do something, including before they take the vaccine. So that's one of the things I think we can all do, is look up the information to see what some professional health people have to say about either the COVID or the vaccine. There's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot of discussion. And if you want to hear both sides of the story, well, listen to a couple of the other doctors. Now, here's a couple of them that talk about the other side of the COVID vaccine. One of them is Gert Vanden Bosch, who is a vaccine promoter and developer for decades. And he says, do not take this COVID vaccine. And there's also Ryan Cole, MD. There's also Peter McCullough, MD. And there's a couple of regular people who talk about things like this. Sherry Tenpenny and the OBGYN, Dr. Christine Northrup. They talk about an alternative view to what we are hearing about the vaccine. And I think that if you want to get a number of opinions, you do look up the people who can tell you things. And these researchers have ideas that are not what you're hearing on the media. So, yeah, look up those doctors and researchers. I think it's a good idea. You know, there's a lot of people who are harmed by a lot of things. They're harmed by this vaccine. Just look at the personal testimonies. It's a question where you have to look and see where you stand. But I do know that I have known quite a few people who have passed into the next life. And most of them thought they had more time on Earth, at least a little more time. And they didn't. So the lesson that I learned from this is that you always want to be ready to meet your Maker. And you do that by having that born-again relation with Jesus Christ, knowing that you belong to Him for all eternity. And you want to call Him your Lord and your Savior. You want to make Him your Lord and your Savior. And I think that reading God's Word is a great big help. It certainly was an important step for me, and how I came to know that God loves me and I love God, and how I've gotten a heart to obey the Bible, which is what God and Jesus say. That's what I think. You never know when that day, the last day of your life, will be. So whenever it is, be prepared to meet your Maker and respond in life to God as you go through life, and be faithful with whatever is in front of you according to God Jesus. And so that's yes with a personal decision, and it's also for the events in life that we go through, whether it is a natural disaster or whatever it is. There are hardships in life, and we do call to Jesus and for all sorts of things, for earthquakes, natural disasters, and everything else. We have a friend in Jesus. So you can listen to this broadcast or another past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. You can also write me for my free preparedness pamphlet. Please send me a stamped self-addressed envelope for that. To John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I do pray for my listeners, and I thank you for listening. I thank you for any donations you send my way. Very appreciated. And I pray that you will walk with God, and that God will walk with you. Let me live my life inside your